And W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. And Happy New Year! Tons of people were out to celebrate 2023 here in Times Square. It is the first time in a long time there were no COVID restrictions. And our own CBS's Wendy Gillette was there to see it all.
2023 arrived at the stroke of midnight with a nearly 12,000-pound Waterford crystal ball drop and about a ton of confetti flying through the air.
We just want a happy 2023. We want all our families to be with us and celebrating life.
A new year means new laws. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper has a rundown.
In California, private insurance companies cannot charge people co-pays or deductibles for abortions anymore. A new provision in North Carolina requires governors to get formal support from other elected officials for their short-term emergency declarations to last beyond 30 days. And Alabama has become the latest state to allow people to carry a concealed handgun without getting a state permit that requires a background check.
18 states are also increasing their minimum wage. In a New Year's speech to his nation, Ukraine's president praises people for their resilience throughout its war with Russia.
He says the world won't forgive Russia for the terror of missile strikes. A few minutes after the speech was released just before midnight Kyiv time on New Year's Eve, numerous blasts were heard in the capital and around the country.
That's CBS's Christopher Cruz. North Korea is wasting no time in 2023. It's already conducted its first missile test of the year following an unprecedented number of launches in 2022. Reporter Alex Jensen has more from Seoul, South Korea.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's blamed the U.S. and other hostile forces for the need to exponentially increase production of nuclear warheads and develop an even more powerful intercontinental ballistic missile.
Pope Benedict died yesterday, bringing an end to an unprecedented decade in which the Catholic Church had two living popes, one reigning, one retired. CBS's Chris Livesay has more from Rome.
With Benedict's death, Francis is finally the only pope here. But for how long? He revealed earlier this month that he already has his own resignation letter ready to submit if his own health ever impedes his work.
Benedict was the first pope in 600 years to resign. He was 95 years old. A bit of relief now in Idaho after a big arrest. Here's CBS's Danya Backus.
After nearly 7 weeks of uncertainty, residents of Moscow, Idaho, now feeling at ease.
I think it was pretty unnerving and scary for people.
Moscow police say they are confident that 28-year-old Brian Koberger is the killer.
This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
The SHA 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza, and no Kristen here today. We are going to be doing a solo show on family caregiving. And when I say we, I do have some amazing guests with me. I have my wonderful husband, Mr. Michael Kroot, and our awesome son, Caden Kroot. So we are just going to spend some time talking about our personal family caregiving experience. So I'll just jump right in. Well, first of all, thank you, Mike, for joining me.
Sure. I was thinking, what am I, a chapped liver?
But yes, exactly.
Exactly.
You know that I know that you know. So our caregiving journey started, what is Caden's, 19 now? Yes. So 17 years ago-ish. You know, we knew at around 12 months, Caden wasn't meeting his milestones. I think we had a little bit of denial.
I had denial. Yeah. You sensed it earlier than I.
Well, that wasn't my first rodeo. But, yeah, so we reached out to birth to three, I think, at 18 months and had them come in. And, you know, when they began working with him, Caden was oblivious to the fact that they were even there, you know. So we both knew, whoa, something is not right here. And then we started our search, right, for what's going on with our kiddo. So I think by age three, he did get the autism diagnosis, and we continued with birth to three. We started working with Wisconsin Early Autism Project, and I think I was all in, right? 110%, rolled up my sleeves. Everything was autism 24/7. We did speech, OT, vision therapy, social skills group, worked with alternative medicine doctors, special diets, you name it, we did it. And if you recall, autism was not covered by insurance at that time. It was considered a pre-existing condition. So we also had the joy of spending time at the Capitol and doing some advocating. What are your thoughts, Mike, or what's your take on our early days of the caregiving experience?
I just remember you diagnosed our son, and then you sought pediatricians to see what you were seeing. And the first pediatrician, because Caden, like all kids with autism and all kids, is a unique kid. And he was affectionate, and he looked you in the eye. And our esteemed, well-regarded local pediatrician said, well, he doesn't have autism. He'll give you a hug. Well, this autistic kid did. And you didn't accept that. I was much more willing. I was much more wanting to hear, oh, you know, Einstein didn't talk until he was two. And your kid will catch up. You know, he's just a late bloomer. Well, I didn't know. I wanted that to be the case. And those that don't know our story, we were about to get on a plane in Mexico. You were very pregnant with our last child, with Karsten. And you went online and you found an autism checklist. And you pointed out to me through tears. You know, our kid checks like 23 of 26 boxes here. And I just remember you took books and we went on a beach and we went through our stages of grief because we thought this diagnosis was somehow a life sentence for Caden. And you clearly committed yourself to changing our son's life. And my part has been secondary.
Well, thank you for that, I guess. We did. We both went all in, and the evolution of not only, you know, of Caden himself, but also what autism is and what that means. And, you know, all of that has changed so much through the years. You know, you just said we thought this was a life sentence. Well, I don't think that at all, you know, and
well, with 17 years hindsight,
right,
and his tremendous development through his hard work and his therapist hard work and your hard work. And what people may not realize is, we were glad to have treatment options. Many families didn't. The wonderful people at Wisconsin Early Autism Project started coming to our house every 2 hours on the hour. And those that don't know my wife, she likes a clean house. Certainly if company's coming over. And I would watch you, hon. I would watch you clean this house. You would scrub, well, not this house, but top to bottom, seemingly every 2 hours. Your entire day was keeping the house clean for the next therapist. And of course, the whole time they're there, between him and the baby and the dogs, there was always chaos. There was always something to be cleaned. And I have always admired the commitment you made, hon, because all I had to do was go to work and hopefully pay for it. That's the easy part.
Sometimes it was easy.
Sometimes it was awfully hard to pay for it. But
and that's where the advocating and lobby work came in. And I remember you speaking with who's your bestie from Richland Center?
My bestie from Richland Center is former twice elected Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to meet Dale through our lobbying on behalf of the autism mandate. And former Governor Jim Doyle spent a lot. I wasn't a huge Doyle fan, but he spent a lot of political capital doing the right thing by families with kids of that had autism or that their children had the diagnosis. And you don't get better without treatment. You get worse. And we went through and we saw the numbers. And of course, we're seeing it through the prism of our own child's experience. But the waiting list was 18 months, and the kids weren't getting better. They were waiting and regressing. We saw our son lose certain skills. So the prognosis that you've got to wait 18 months to get any sort of relief, if you're lucky, and get in line and hope for the best, was untenable. And it was a bad financial decision for state governance, because if these kids didn't get early intervention, they were never going to get to a skill set where they'd be able to go to college or to participate in the workforce or pay taxes or not be, and I would hate to think my child's a liability, but to not be a liability. So it was smart to force insurance companies to take care of this early treatment, to treat it not like a pre-existing condition, but treat it like any other condition. And the autism mandate was scored. It went through the Senate. We talked to Dale. And you know, your dad lives out there. And I got into Dale's office. Hey, you know, my father-in-law is a constituent. I'd really like to talk to you. Dale's a very reasonable man. But Mike Kipsch, who was the head of the assembly speaker at the time, went on to be Scott Walker's DOA secretary. Kipsch killed that bill in the middle of the night at 1 in the morning for the benefit of the insurance company against the taxpayers and against families like ours that had a kid waiting for service in a family going broke trying to pay for it privately. Jim Doyle stuck it in the budget the next year, and he pushed it through, and the autism mandate became law here. It's a big deal to us and a lot of other families.
It definitely was. But I remember Dale Schultz at the time not being down for it, that it would cost way too much. The insurance system would explode. They could never handle that cost. And we had Caden with us, and it took Caden a long time to get potty trained for whatever reason. And he took a big old dump in Dale Schultz's office, I remember. And
sure,
I just,
you want to talk about this on the radio with
just
the
remember thinking,
teenager sitting next door?
That a boy. There's some advocating for you. But it worked. It went through, but until that time, we did try to pay for as much of it as we could out of pocket. And that, it was strapping.
It was,
yes.
It was beyond our means often.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't only that. I mean, you made career decisions. You made life decisions. The other kids in our household, Kelsey, our beautiful daughter, and Karsten, our ever more muscular and handsome son, those kids also sacrificed for the right to have you make the necessary commitment to get Caden to the level he's at today.
They did, and I'm still playing, I think, catch up with some of them today, because it was Caden. It was 24/7 Caden. I was driven and determined to do whatever I had to do to, get him to where he needed to be, and for many different reasons. I mean, some for his benefit, right? So he can go out and
sure,
succeed in the world. And some just my broken knowledge, my naive knowledge at the time that, oh no, I made a broken kid. I've got to fix him. I can fix this. I'm going to fix this. And again, I appreciate how I've evolved and matured and changed through the years, because there's absolutely nothing to fix. And we had the Down Syndrome Society on DSAW last week, and I just, was just taken back by just the pride that they have of these kiddos, and it's never doom or gloom or statistics. It's just all about their abilities, and these are great contributing members of society, and it's just such a positive way to look at it. And that's my thoughts about Caden now. But I'm sure when you first find out, you have to go through this process, right?
Well, it's like anything else. You go through grief, you go through denial, you go through all the stages.
Exactly. And I can't wait. After our commercial break, we're gonna have Caden come in, and we are going to hear Caden's take on all of this. You're listening to The Empowered Caregivers, and we'll be right back after this short break.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor. Let's do it while we can. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 41 today. Under cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 29 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 39. Mid-50s Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Chance of snow on Wednesday. Highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza Hellenbrand. I'm your host today. No co-host, Kristen. So we are going to be talking today, or we have been talking, I should say, about my family's personal caregiving story and journey. And we have with us now a super special guest, Mr. Caden Crute, my son. And so we were saying, Caden, that you were diagnosed with autism by the time you were 3 years old. And I know that's pretty early on, but do you remember us kind of explaining autism to you?
Yeah, so my first radio show that I was on when I was probably like 9 years old, Dad mentioned autism in one of his sentences. I knew it was like a pretty big word, but when I thought about it and asked about it, that's when I like learned more about it, and I thought, geez, that's kind of a big thing, special thing.
It is, and I remember writing a social story for you. And so social story, many of you probably know, especially if you have children on the autism spectrum, is just kind of when you explain things out in a story in a way that makes sense to the listener. So I remember making this social story about how Caden had autism and he had superpowers and he was super special. And I remember a brief moment where you kind of walked around and said, I don't know how to say this, but I'm kind of a big deal, right? You remember that? Because you thought you were really special because number one, you are, right? And number two, you were learning about autism and how it made you unique. And it was kind of cool, I think, you know, when we first learned about it and how you were special and different. Can you tell the listeners about some of the therapies and about some of the things that you did for your autism treatment?
I used to have therapists come to my house when I was like really young. Mm-hmm. I was probably like a toddler when I first remember a therapist coming to my house. Yeah. And I went to lots of clinics like CI. I did that like many years ago.
Yeah.
To get some of the treatment. It was a pretty good fit because then that got me into the whole Wisconsin early autism thing,
mm-hmm.
which I do to this day. And I remember starting up at the Wolfpack group, and then that turned into the after school program, which resulted in the teen group, which I am Currently still am. Since I'm 19 years old, I'm still in the teen group.
Yep. And you're like the longest standing member of the social skills group. I remember when you were like 4 years old, they said, okay, we're going to start this group and get some of these kids together and work on social skills and interacting and playing with each other. And I said, great. So we did that weekly when you were four, and 15 years later, still taking you weekly, right? But it's a super cool group with a bunch of great kids.
They had an old building that I used to go to. Some of the people that were there today were not there, but some of the people that kind of go there to this day went there by the time we were in the new building.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are not there anymore. That's just like when the whole Wolfpack group started, because then I joined, you know, after school program for 2 years in middle school, and then teen group started for me.
Yep. You did lots of different things.
Now the teen group has gotten like really cool, especially after the pandemic as far as this year.
Yeah. The pandemic definitely was a hard time. But I think during the pandemic, you really matured a lot, right? That online school was tough, and you didn't have all the support that you have in the school building. So you really had to step up your game, and you absolutely knocked it out of the park, Caden. I would love for you to be able to tell parents that have a child with autism maybe some good advice. What would you want to tell parents that have a child with autism?
Well, if you have a kid with autism, you got to know that's going to probably mean that's going to have some meaningfulness to it, whether they're higherly functioning or low functioning. And another thing you should know is that it's good that you're teaching us things, because it could result in some learning disabilities, but that also could result us being smart in also like very little ways that some people that can sometimes get taken by surprise. Like, I know some people myself that, you know, seemed like they had a little bit learning needs, but in the meantime, they had like background stuff about them, or like stuff they were like really good at. And I have that too, as you guys should probably know.
Oh, absolutely. We know.
And you got fans walking down University Ave waving. They saw you in here, Caden.
Yeah. Yep.
So the show that I do, Caden, is about family caregivers. So I would be considered your caregiver. So I'm just curious, what are some things that you think I've done good with as being your caregiver? And what are some things do you think I can work on? And be gentle.
Some things you've done good is you take me, some things you've done good is you've signed me up for cranial programs I like, and when I do like them, I continue them, and you give me the help that, I need most of the time, and, you're pretty helpful for me most of the time, like, when there's something going on, like, society, like, you'll kind of explain it to me a little bit, like, then it can feel like it's a little bit more chill at those times.
Yeah, and then it's almost time for a commercial, so you have just a few seconds, but what can I work on?
Well, something you gotta work on is, like, when I'm having my moments, you gotta be, like, you gotta remain calm about it. You gotta remain kind of calm about it, and something you gotta work on is, like, when I'm having my moments of like tics or stuff like that, you also got to be patient about that too, because you do know I am in college and I have to deal with loud neighbors all the time. So if someone with autism has to deal with it, I think you can deal with it too.
I think you're right. I will start working on that right away. Thank you so much, Caden.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. New York City's cleaning up after a huge party to ring in the new year. CBS's Wendy Gillette is in Times Square.
As always, security was extremely tight here in Times Square. Thousands of uniformed officers patrolled the streets. Police say there were also bomb squads and radiation detection teams.
It's the first time since 2020 there were no COVID restrictions. Ukraine's president issued a new year message to his people today.
Zelensky said, "We were told you have no other option but to surrender. We say we have no other option than to win."
CBS's Christopher Cruz. Brian Koberger, who's suspected of killing four University of Idaho students, is expected to waive his extradition hearing this week in Pennsylvania to face charges in Idaho. CBS's Donya Backus.
Police have not found the murder weapon, but did recover the white Hyundai Elantra they say Koberger used to drive cross-country from Washington State University, where he lived and attended school.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, flying solo tonight, and we are talking about, well, I guess our family's personal caregiving journey and story. And I'm here with my wonderful husband, Mr. Mike Kroot. And typically in the third segment, we do what is called powerful questions. And so I'm going to put you on the hot seat, Mike, and ask you a few questions to catch you off guard. That's my hope. Yep, right? So your mom lobbied for foster care parents that cared for children with special needs. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how it impacted you as a child?
Sure. My mom, who's been pretty instrumental in shaping the man I was, for good or for bad. But my mom had ovarian cancer and knew that she was going to be incapable of having more children. She went back to college, got a degree in behavioral disabilities when a lot of people were going back to school post-Vietnam War. And she had graduated from here at UW-Madison, and she wanted to help a child. And my brother and I met a child named Joseph, who became part of our family. And he was severely disabled cognitively and otherwise, had multiple disabilities. And he came into our home, and she worked with him. And over the course of, I would say, about 8 years, we saw amazing progress. He learned how to talk. He learned how to do mathematical computations. He learned a lot of things. And my mom, through her experience, learned that the compensation levels were ridiculously low. And when you've got special needs kids, some have orthopedic shoes and whatever the case may be. Well, these were 1970, late 70s numbers, but the first child was like $152 a month. The second child was like $68 a month. And I don't care what year you live in, you can't raise a child for that. So it was disincentivizing good people from being foster parents. My mom personally lobbied after Lee Dreyfus left. Tony Schreiber became the governor. Lieutenant Governor Schreiber eventually signed into law what my mom had worked very hard with Carol Brandstetter and a few other foster parents. About 1980, they signed into law higher compensation rates for children in foster care. And you know my story, hon, as fate would have it. My mom died from cancer a few years later. I found myself going from family member to family member, and eventually I came back to Wisconsin, and I ended up as a kid in foster care. And I feel like my experience was relatively stable, safe. I never got beat up. I never got molested, any of those things. And there were good families that had entered into foster care. And I actually went through a couple of families, but I was the first child in every case. These were newly recruited families. And I feel like my mom's work to get somewhat fairer compensation rates for these families paved the way for, a safe high school existence and hopefully a relatively gainful adulthood.
She sounds like she was such an amazing woman. I wish I would have had the opportunity to meet her. But you saw firsthand at a young age some of the caregiving journey, you know, with the work and the time that your mom put in with Joseph. And how did that impact you?
I think it well, certainly I felt like probably our children feel, those that aren't Caden sometimes, and that is you want a greater piece of your, for me, my mom was the only parent in the household. I wanted more of my mom at times. I understood, but as a kid, you're selfish. You know, you don't see the altruistic good she's doing for another human being. You just want more time with your mom. So like all other selfish kids, I saw that aspect of it. The other thing that was weird is Joseph was self-abusive just randomly at times. We'd go out of old Westtown Mall here in Madison, and this kid would have a bad day, and he would literally start banging his head on the concrete fountains they used to have there, to the point of bloodying himself. And my mom would try to restrain him, and it was not predictable or logical what would trigger this. And she would go to stop him, and someone would call the cops on her, and we would have security guards or cops or whatever, and she would just let go and say, okay, then you stop him. And they would realize that this was not some woman abusing her child. This was a woman stopping this child that would illogically self-harm himself in public places like Westtown Mall, which is traumatic if you see it, but that became part of our family. And that happened about once a year, maybe not at Westtown, but I remember specifically it happened at Westtown.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember at Westtown with Caden, they had like these kind of marble shiny floors, and it completely threw him off. Mm. You know, he'd put his hands out and just walk like he was going to fall over, and that was one of our earliest memories of me watching him being like, this isn't normal. But you know, it's a little bit tricky being a caregiver to a child, right? Because that's typically seen as being a parent, you know. So it's kind of hard to differentiate those two. But when it comes to being a caregiver to a child with special needs or disabilities, is it's the extra, right? It's all of the stuff that you take on besides just being a parent. You know, the therapies, the doctors, the IEPs, the research, you know, and it can be a full-time job. It was a full-time job for me for a long time. But in the caregiver role, what is something that you've taken delight in doing with Caden?
I'm not sure if I exactly understand the question, but I have a few really good memories through the years when he was a kid. And this kid is fearless. Caden is literally fearless of heights, of crazy stuff. You know, he'd go on the cranium shaker or whatever. But Caden, when he was a kid, I would literally throw him around the basement from couch to mattress, and he would be Spider-Man. And when he was a very little kid, I would come home every night and we had a routine. We would play air hockey and dance to John Mayer songs. And it was he was such a creature of habit that was our thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to this day, we have certain things that are kind of our thing. Mom goes to bed, and when he's home from college, he and I sit up and mess with each other to this day. You know, we're like all men do, but yeah, it's our thing.
He likes to poke. Like, he likes to poke at you and push.
He does
your,
like to
and
poke at
push
this
your
guy.
Buttons.
He does push buttons.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing that Caden is always going to be a responsibility of ours to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. We've got one that's left the nest and is doing hair for movie stars, and we beg for her to reach out to us and talk to us, right?
Please come home
for Christmas, Kelsey. But Caden, he's always going to be there. He's always going to need us. What are your some of your greatest fears in that regard?
The only fear I have for Caden is he's such a helpful human being. There are those that may try to take advantage of his generous nature.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about him financially, as we all worry about our children financially, but he's not financially sophisticated, and people try to prey on less financially sophisticated people. That's my only real fear, quote unquote fear, is that, you know, someone takes it away from him, what meager dollars he may have, and he's left wanting, or he's left homeless, or he's left in some dire strait because we haven't created a structure, a savings, a housing plan for him that creates a sense of permanence where we can die someday.
Right. Yeah, I see that when I see the homeless people or the people on the corner. I think that's somebody's kid, right? Yep. Somebody raised that person, and what happened to them, and could that be Caden? It's definitely a fear of mine.
I've not to interrupt. I know you've got more questions, but I've also, he's grown so much that I am so proud of the opportunities that life will give him because he works so hard.
Right, right. And Evan's given us a hand signal. We have a caller. Is that correct?
We sure do. We've got Joe from Madison, one of our favorites.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, it's sweet of you to say. Hi, I was interested to join the discussion, if I could. Calvin, I can recall a warm summer afternoon when I was working in my backyard listening to your dad's show, and you were a guest on that show. And at that time, you were talking about work that you were doing as a video editor. I believe you were maybe still in high school at that point. I'm not quite sure. But I was I'd be interested to hear your reaction about how that fit for you as an activity to do, and how you feel about it. I have a bit of background in television, and I know the importance of editing in terms of creating story and mood and rhythm and all. Are you still interested in editing? Is that still something that you pursue? And what are your thoughts about that? And I'll take my answer off air.
All right. Well, that is an excellent question. Unfortunately, we left Caden go. We let him off the hook, so he's in the other room. But I can tell you that he started that through Camp Creatability, which is located here in Madison. And same deal. He started as the youngest one. I think he was like 8 years old or something like that. And he took it up all the way until last summer. And he really enjoyed it. And I think it's a good fit for a lot of kiddos. And, you know, when they find that niche and they're patient, and now Camp Creatability is actually employing, those with disabilities, and they help transfer, photos into digital products, digital video. And then also I think like CDs and cassettes into, a digital format. So I think that it could be a perfect fit for a lot of kids on specifically on the spectrum. What's your take, Mike?
Sure. I think a lot of kids that are on the spectrum like the repetitive nature of videotape. You can go back and watch it over and over again. And God only knows how many times he's watched some of the same YouTube videos. But I think in this day and age, you can be a creator. And the other day, he pranked his brother's buddy and stole his phone, hid it under the thing, and like did a little video production and circled it and, you know, like laid out the prank. And, you know what? And I saw it. And I'm not a big fan of the YouTube prank channels, but I thought to myself, but that's a well-produced little video. That's a neat thing. And I don't know if his avocation will be in video, but he loves working at Marcus Theater. Mm-hmm. He still loves movies. And in fact, if you'll recall, hon, that is how we discovered that Caden's got a wonderful ability, sort of a memory thing. This
hyperthymesia?
Yes. He remembered all of the release dates of a number of movies, and he was so movie-centric. He gave him the list, and he gave you the release dates. You said, well, how do you know? Well, I just remember these things.
Yeah, I remember that. But I wanted to, he wasn't familiar with, you know, Google and Google search and using the internet. And I wanted to him to know that, you know, that's a resource where you can go for information. So I gave him a list of movies, and I can't remember the exact assignment, but he came up with a list of movies, and next to it, he put these dates. And I'm like, what are these dates? And he's like, that's the release date. And I'm like, where did you find that on the internet? Like, and he's like, I didn't find it on the internet. I just know it. And I'm like, wait, what? All right, you go play. And then I did my research, and he had them all correct. And I was just like, what? Yeah. And he's pretty proud of that.
Well, he's got some amazing skills. He can tell you, if you tell him your birthday, he can tell you what day of the week you're born on, mm-hmm. what day the birthday is going to fall on this year. If he doesn't win himself a few beers in life, that is a skill wasted.
It's got to be good for something. It's awesome to know, like, hey, Caden, when was the day that I got my oil changed last? Or, you know, all that fun stuff. You're listening to the Power Caregiver Show, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Women
hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace or Google My Business or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 41 today under cloudy skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 29 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy tomorrow. Highs level off around 39. Highs around 55 Tuesday with a chance for scattered showers. Chance for mixed precipitation 35 on Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand. No Kristen this evening. So we've been talking about our family's personal family caregiving story. And I know when I proposed the Empower Caregiver to Mike that I wanted to have a show on this, it wasn't because Mike had a show and now I wanted a show. I felt like this is an important issue that nobody talks about. And quite frankly, a lot of people just don't get it. You know, they feel like it's your familial duty, right, to care for those people in your family that you love and want to make sure are safe and okay. And that is 100% true, but there's a lot more to it than that. And I am a statistic person. I love me some statistics. And Mike, you can tell me when to stop. But there's a few things out there that really caught my eye and felt like this is something that needs a microphone, that needs to be talked about. The Survival Coalition did a family caregiver survey back in 2021 that came out in 2022, and it showed that families provide 80% of the care for children and adults with disabilities and older adults. One out of three are expected to continue caregiving the next 30 years. Four of five have been caregivers for at least 10 years. And in a 24-hour period, one of two are providing more than 12 hours of care per day. That's a lot. You know, that is a lot for any one family. And a lot of times when there are no paid caregivers to step in and help the family caregivers, it throws the family caregivers' world life into crisis, right? In any given week, three out of five spend more than 40 hours a week, or the equivalent of a full-time job, on caregiving duties. So I felt like this was an issue that really needs to be addressed because it impacts a lot of people, primarily women, and not only, you know, physical, mental toll. It impacts our ability to have gainful employment, our ability to contribute to a 401k or Social Security. And there is a lot of studies out there of the direct health implications of carrying this job in addition to possibly another job or caring for other kids or, you know, trying to live your life. We started the show by saying some of the advocacy work that we did early on with Caden when autism was not covered by insurance, and you know, we did our little part, right, to try to change that, and luckily it was changed. Right now, Governor Evers has some listening sessions. Unfortunately, two have passed. There's one coming up in Green Bay, and you can also write in online.
Virtually attend,
correct. Yeah, and I posted the link on our Facebook page, the Empowered Caregiver Community. You can also find the information. I got the information through the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. So it's an easy way to do your part, to do your advocacy work, and check that box. And some things that they are asking for is, of course, stabilization and increase paid caregiver for the caregivers, excuse me, that are doing this as a profession, right, to make it a career. It's so disheartening when you can make, you know, $5 more per hour working at Quick Trip than you can for caring for somebody in need. So there's a lot of changes that need to be there. But in regards to family caregivers, some things that they're throwing out there that they're advocating for, that you can ask for, is to create employee-funded state insurance to offer paid family and medical leave for part-time and full-time employees. Also to expand who can use family and medical leave to include grandparents, grandchildren, and siblings. Also, there is establishing a family caregiving tax credit that allows taxpayers to deduct up to $7,200 per year, which is the average annual out-of-pocket expense incurred by family caregivers, and then also to increase respite funding, which would all of them would make a big difference. So if you're able to get online and, you know, tell your story, tell what would impact you, there's a lot that can be done to support family caregivers. And quite frankly, there's a lot that needs to be done to support family caregivers. You know, we're truly the backbone of the nation. And without us, things are going to fall apart quickly. What's your two cents on it, Mike?
We definitely need home health care workers. We definitely need paid caregivers. And you're right, there's not a lot of respect given to the positions, not in a paid regard, and certainly not when the labor is free, when it's obligated upon the parents, on the children, on the son-in-law, the daughter-in-law, whatever the case may be. The state of Wisconsin has resources, lots and lots of resources. We are sitting on the biggest budget surplus in our state's history, $6.6 billion. So far, mostly I've heard about proposed tax cuts. But what you're talking about is an investment in human beings. And my greatest concern is partisanship is so prevalent. There's not a common ground often in the governance in the state of Wisconsin. So there's one legislative piece. It's all about the budget. And it's up to the governor to craft the budget. The Joint Finance Committee will rewrite it and do it all over again. And then Tony Evers, the governor, through the veto pen, will need to better that document in any way possible to make it better for caregivers and anyone else he wants to help. But in terms of cooperation, a legislative remedy, that's not the way this state's set up currently. And it's too bad because there are people suffering that could use some help.
Yeah. And if ever there was a bipartisan issue, wouldn't it be this? This impacts one in five people, you know, they say either you are a caregiver, you'll be a caregiver, you've been a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver, right? So how they can say no to this is a little beyond me, but I guess that's the government for you, huh?
Well, that is the government under the circumstance that it's gerrymandered and it's not reflective of the will of the people.
Thank you for listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I was hoping to have a conversation with Evan about his recent caregiving story, and we'll get to it next time we're all together, because you just get thrown into it.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.